Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mullican.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And we're in, this is the wrestling podcast. We talk about the wrestling you need to watch now, the wrestling you grew up with and stuff. I'm all messed up now. Welcome to episode 3 of the Death Dealers Invitational. This is the Ultimate Fantasy Tag Team Tournament. You've got the, if you're watching, if you're on DoubleDropkick.com, you can actually see the bracket. We're on the third part of the bracket. And so, Mark, we got 8 great matchups here.
The first is Rob Van Dam and Sabu versus the Outsiders. Mm. That's a tough one, man.
I'm right there with you, brother.
Because, I mean, you know, I don't want to redo and rehash all the same stuff that we've done.
No, right.
But I don't want to deal with the Outsiders if I'm booking things.
Okay. I agree with you. I don't disagree with you. But in our singles tournament,
mm-hmm.
the same issue came up. All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to appeal to this side of Mark Whitman. Who drew money? Who drew the most money outside? I know RVD and Sabu were great. They were a unique tag team in their time. Which team do we need most in this tournament?
You didn't let me finish. As usual.
Oh, yeah.
However, mm-hmm. Sabu is not dependable. And that the same cannot be said of the Outsiders. In their prime.
Right.
Now, I know there have been some issues the past few years, but in their prime, the Outsiders, if nothing else, were dependable to be where they said they were going to be when they said they were going to be there. And they drew a ton of money, and they sell a lot of T-shirts.
Yes.
So I would go with the Outsiders.
Yes. Well, yeah, I tell you what, while you're wrong, Mark, you see, RVD, it's Outsiders. Next match, DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus the Natural Disasters.
Yeah, those guys. I'm taking on the Natural Disasters. Come on.
This is Natural Disasters. Now, I think it'd be a good match. I think Gargano and Ciampa sell for him and...
Because they don't have a choice.
Yeah, that's right. Next we got tell them who we got.
Ivan and Nikita Koloff versus the Usos.
I got to go with Ivan and Nikita. That chain comes into play. I see what the next match is, and I see there's just some possibilities.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm with that. The next match, the Midnight Express versus Edge and Christian. We're getting the version of the Midnight Express with Eaton and Condry because later on you'll see that we have the Fabulous, I think.
Yeah, Fabulous Ones.
Yeah, we have the Fabulous Ones, who are Steve Kern and Stan Lane. We chose to go with them because really over. So Midnight Express versus Edge and Christian.
I got to go. I love Edge and Christian, but I got to go with Midnight Express.
Of course. Cornette hit somebody in the back with a racket, right, and they make it to the next round. That's a great story.
And that builds me a second round matchup that has a lot. I mean, can you imagine the crowd is behind the Midnight Express because they're facing Ivan and Nikita Koloff?
There you go.
The Steiners versus the Addiction.
Another one. Another team that Heath had to have in here gets defeated by the Steiners. The Addiction.
Yes.
We talked, though, this is a kind of a good point, time for us to bring this up, I think. We were kind of discussing as we've done this and started putting this stuff up there that, like, when you start stacking these guys up, today you literally have to stack them up for them to be as big as the guys used to be.
Right.
Like, they literally would have to get on one another's shoulders to be as tall as Earthquake or Typhoon or a lot of these other guys. I could be wrong, but I bet you Red Dragon together doesn't weigh as much as Scott Steiner.
Well, they're going to be over 300 pounds. I don't think Scott Steiner's over 300 pounds. He's 280, 290. I don't know if he's over 300.
I think you saying that both of those guys weigh 150 pounds apiece is wrong.
wait a minute.
Wait. CM Punk was 175.
Wait a minute.
And he's got a foot on them guys.
Wait a minute. Are you saying, what are you telling me? You telling me that when Howard Finkel, Hall of Famer Howard Finkel, announces a gentleman, and he tells me the town he's from, and he tells me his weight, that both pieces of those information may not be 100% accurate?
That is what I am telling you, in fact.
Well. So next we got an intriguing matchup. We didn't talk about this. It's the New Day versus the British Bulldogs. Which two of the New Day are we getting here?
It's normally Kofi and Big E.
That's who I think.
You know, I think it really doesn't matter.
And I want to see Kofi and Dynamite get in there, and they do some chain wrestling, and then Big E and the Davey Boy get in there, and that.
Yeah, it's actually a good matchup if you think about it. With the stuff that they can do, it'd be a really, really good match.
And what you're gonna find most of the time during this tournament, we're pretty old biased.
It's the wrestling you grew up
with. Yeah,
it is. I mean, that's.
But it's British Bulldogs defeating.
Yeah,
the New Day.
I think the British Bulldogs beat the New Day. That's just me.
Yeah. Now this next match, very intriguing. If you were going to make a list of a million tag team matches, this is not one you would get.
Probably not. It's kind of weird. The Eliminators versus the Thrill Seekers. Lance Storm and Chris Jericho. The difference is the Thrill Seekers were a rookie team when they were the Thrill Seekers. Yeah. They didn't have the experience yet.
Right.
And the Eliminators did. And the Eliminators were pretty rough guys. So I personally have to give the nod to the Eliminators.
I don't disagree with you. I remember when you gave me that ECW tape, which I think it's at my house. I don't know that I returned it. Barely legal.
Mm-hmm.
Their first pay-per-view, I believe.
Yes.
And seeing the Eliminators for the first time, and I'm like, man, these guys are different. And they were good. And, it's a good match. Again, just because we pick guys to lose a match doesn't mean we don't like them, respect them, or whatever.
No,
and
I
then,
think they're great.
Then we've got probably of all the first-round matchups.
The biggest single mismatch.
This is the matchup that I would pay to see this. This is what
I
want to see. And I think they would both eat it up and just, it'd be money.
Oh, there's no doubt. There'd be a lot of money made on this match.
Yeah.
The Hollywood Blondes, Stunning Steve Austin and Flying Brian Pillman versus the Young Bucks.
Oh, man. I love it.
Who do you see taking the win here?
The Hollywood Blondes
clearly
win this match.
Clearly, okay.
But I mean, that doesn't mean we don't love the Young Bucks.
I like the Young Bucks. I don't know that I love the Young Bucks.
Right, I love the Young Bucks.
I like the Young Bucks.
But for what we're trying to do in this tournament, I can fancy book with the Young Bucks any day because they're there. I can go watch them. The Hollywood Blondes, to me, they had such a short run. They had such a short run that it's through things like this that we get to see part of their run we never actually got to see.
Right. And not only did they have a short run, they were in a bad situation where they made the same mistake a lot of people make in wrestling. They actually get over.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't quite as over feel like they need to ditch them and kind of kill what they had going on and kill their momentum, because they knew that if they had to be on the card with somebody who wasn't, or somebody who was that much better on the microphone and that much better in the ring than them, that they just knew that we need to go ahead and split that up because I won't be able to get over as much.
Yeah. For me, we talk about, you know, there's a lot of what ifs in wrestling.
Right.
And for me, the Hollywood Blondes, that what if is because you and I saw them in Anderson. And I
remember having the conversation because we were like on the front row.
Yeah.
Or second row.
We were
whatever.
Second row. We were behind Coach Corder.
That's right.
Because he had a sign that said Hollywood Queers, and Doug Dillinger said, I can't have that.
Yeah, as he probably should have.
Right.
But I remember us on the way home, like, talking about, like, how we were now fans of the Hollywood Blondes. Had not really been before. But I remember having that conversation that, man, these guys are awesome. Man.
I'm going to say something hyperbolic.
No.
I have been to a ton of wrestling shows in my life. I've been to WrestleMania. I have been to Survivor Series. I've been to big shows. I've been to small shows. I've seen the Young Bucks. I've seen the Young Bucks live at pay-per-view. Of all my experiences, and what we're talking about happening with the Hollywood Blondes is 92, 93. Mm-hmm. It's a long time ago. But they had an it factor. Yes. That I don't care if you're talking about Rock and Roll Express. I don't care who you're talking about. That team had an it factor that, for me personally, I've never experienced in watching another team live.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's just you personally. Because one half of that team went on to be the biggest star in the history of the wrestling business.
Right.
So clearly they, and the other one.
Would have
been just as, I'm telling you, if he had not crushed his ankle in that car wreck and he had not had to start using some of the medication and he had been clear headed, WrestleMania 15 would have been, or 16 or 17 or whatever, would have been Steve Austin and Brian Pillman for the world title.
Yeah,
I'm not saying The Rock wouldn't still have gotten over and that right. The Rock wouldn't have been a big star, but I'm telling you it wouldn't have happened as quickly if they had had a Brian, because I can promise you those two guys were riding up down the road plotting out a storyline for years and years when they were a tag team of how we can take this, and then when we split up we can do this. You think that whole deal with the gun was just something they come up with
right,
that night?
Right.
I guarantee you they've been planning that. Maybe not specifically that way, but I guarantee you there were a lot of elements of that storyline that those guys had already talked about years before when they were riding up and down the road eating cans of tuna and peanut butter and sharing hotel rooms.
I hope they weren't eating tuna and peanut butter at the same time.
Man, it probably wouldn't be all that good.
So even though Pillman, I mean, this is great. So Mark, run down the matches we've just seen in this third part.
We give the Outsiders a day in court because we feel like they're more reliable than Sabu. So the Outsiders defeat Rob Van Dam and Sabu. Natural Disasters defeat DIY. Ivan and Nikita Koloff defeat the Usos. Midnight Express defeat Edge and Christian. Steiners defeat the Addiction. British Bulldog defeat the New Day. Eliminators defeat the Thrill Seekers. And the Hollywood Blondes defeat the Young Bucks, which leads us to our next round of matches, the Outsiders facing the Natural Disasters. I kind of can't wait to see that.
That's going to be good.
Ivan and Nikita Koloff versus the Midnight Express. Another dream matchup. The Steiner Brothers versus the British Bulldogs.
Yes, sir.
And the Eliminators versus the Hollywood Blondes. There's going to be some good matches coming next.
Did the Steiners ever wrestle British Bulldogs in Japan?
You know, it seems like they may have, but I don't know, because Tom Billington, he got hurt pretty early in the 80s, man. I mean, it was. And so I don't know.
Because I remember the British Bulldogs feuded with the Rock and Roll Express in AWA.
So. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But again, Dynamite.
But I got to tell you, man, that match is not as good as you
would
be. And I remember finding out about it and being really excited and watching it and just thought, some people just don't have chemistry. And then sometimes you can take two guys that aren't very good or whatever, and you put them together and they got this incredible chemistry and you get these great matchups out of it. So.
But no one has the chemistry that the Double Dropkick Show has.
You're right about that.
You can participate in the chemistry. You can talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulligan.
I'm at the DDK Show.
We got our Facebook group, Wrestling You Grew Up With. Come over there and we just talk about stuff. We did get a little
promotion. It's going to be a good little promotion.
We got a patrons-only group. If you become a patron for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/doubledropkick, you get into that secret group, and once a week, Mark answers all your questions, and he posts videos of a different theme. Some weeks it's a focus on jobbers. One week it was Great Muda. It's a different conversation in that group than any other wrestling group on Facebook. But Double Dropkick Show is where you can get all of our episodes. You can go to iTunes and Stitcher Radio. iTunes, you can download, you can subscribe, you can leave us a 5-star rating, and review, we would really appreciate it. Matter of fact, if you do that, just like The Miz, you're awesome.
That's right.
So we've just finished part three of the Death Dealers Invitational, the Ultimate Tag Team Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. We're moving on to part four, but for now, and the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.